Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. It's been quite a week this week. We have attempted to stay busy, stay focused, and do things that need to be done. But I want to talk about this short story, this shocking, bitter truth about this book, The Choice. The book showed how the United States during the 60s was engaged in two simultaneous wars, people of color, in Vietnam and here at home. The war against blacks were evolved because technology will render its largest, unskilled population useless and obsolete. I want to sound the alarm. Genocide is here, and they had to sustain it. This cry reached into the mouth of this country. But also, I want to talk about a little bit about myself. The struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point, one that holds a number of lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor is a war over whether Americans will have prosperity and democracy or live in poverty under the heels of open corporate rule. The attack on democracy in Benton Harbor shows that the corporate power structure is determined to crush anyone who stands in its way. It is part of a process underway across America in various forms. After the once stable working class community of Benton Harbor was devastated by automation and globalization, and the community began to resist, the race card was played. Posed the open rule of corporate power as a way of containing black people in Benton Harbor. Due to my involvement in the struggle for the freedom of my people, I have known very few quiet days in the last 15 to 20 years. I have been in prison in Michigan 3 times. A day seldom passes that my family and I are not the recipients of some kind of threat of death. I have been the victim of a near-fatal persecution. So in the real sense, I've been battered by the storms of persecution. I must admit that at times I have felt that I could no longer bear such a heavy burden and have been tempted to retreat to a more quiet and serene life. But every time such a temptation appeared, something came to strengthen and sustain my determination. I have learned now that the master burden is light. Some of my personal suffering over the last 20 years has also served to shape my thinking. I always hesitate to mention these experiences for fear of conveying the wrong impression. Person who is constantly called attention to his trials and suffering and is in danger of developing a moral complex and impressing others that he is constantly seeking sympathy. It is possible for one to be self-centered and self-sacrificed, but I feel somewhat justified in mentioning them. My personal trials have always taught me the value of unmerited suffering. As my suffering mounted, I soon realized that there were 2 ways in which I could respond to my situation. Either to react with bitterness, to reform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow and transform my suffering into a creative force. Recognizing the necessities for suffering, I have tried to make of it a virtue, if only to save myself from bitterness. I have attempted to see my personal ordeal as an opportunity to transfigure myself and help and heal the people involved in the tragedy situation. To now attain, I have lived these last 30 years with conviction. Unearned suffering is a redemption. I have read Bryan Stevens' book, Just Mercy, and the story seemed very similar to mine. My many years of struggling against inequality, abusive power, poverty, oppression, corruption, and injustice have finally revealed something to me about myself. Being close to suffering death in the cruel and unusual punishment inside the prison system did not just illuminate the brokenness of others in a moment of anguish and heartbreak, it also exposed my own brokenness. You can't effectively fight abusive power, poverty, inequality, illness, corruption, and oppression, and injustice, and not be broken by it. We are all broken by something. We have all hurt someone and have been hurt. We all share the conditions of brokenness. Even if it's our own brokenness, it is not the equivalent. We can embrace our humanity, which means embracing our broken nature and the compassion that remains, or we can deny our brokenness, our compassion, as a result, deny our own humanity. I definitely wanted mercy for the residents of Benton Harbor, Michigan. I would have done anything to create justice for my fellow brothers and sisters. Black, white, brown, red, yellow, all other, or whatever color you want to be, I did not care. I cannot pretend that the people's struggle was disconnected from my own. We have choices. We all have choices. The people who have fought inequality and oppression and for justice. I have been threatened, terrorized, wrongly accused, wrongly condemned, but I have never gave up. I survived the humiliation of 3 trials, several different charges against me. I survived 2 guilty verdicts, several wrongful condemnations by the state of Michigan. And while I did not survive without injury or trauma, I stood strong in the face of injustice. This made the rest of us a little bit more safer, slightly more protected from the abuse of power, oppression, and the false accusation that almost killed me. People wear a variety of masks, smiling masks, appearing once excited, once masks of worldly success, all in a frantic attempt to convince themselves and others that all this is real. But sooner or later, the play must to an end, leaving the actor alone and afraid of this little state. I suggest to my friend and family that my strength, resistance, and perseverance was a victory worth celebrating, an occasion to be remembered. The establishment tortured me, but I'm still standing. The establishment lied on me, but I'm still standing. The establishment sent me to prison with absolutely no evidence to support it, but I'm still standing. The establishment gave me 30 months in prison with absolutely no evidence, which would have been a death penalty for a 66-year-old man, but I'm still standing. The all-white jury was motivated by something other than the truth, but I'm still standing. Let's make this struggle a victory for us all who's in the struggle against the oppressor and the corrupt criminal justice system. In every town, in every city, we must learn to stand together. We must learn to fight together. Your fight is my fight, whether you want it to be or not. My fight is your fight. We must continue this fight at all costs. We cannot, listen to me, everybody, we cannot allow ourselves or anyone else to be alone. We are going to have to learn to work together. Whether you like it or not, we have to do this. We have to show the world who we are and what we can do. You know, I'm excited today. I'm excited to be in a position where I can talk to you and you can talk to me. We have to work this thing together. It's nothing like unity. To me, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white. I don't care. I don't care if you're blue. We have to learn to stand together. And your problem is my problem. And I want to wish my good friend, who's he's no longer here today, his birthday is September the 6th, General Baker from Detroit, Michigan, one of the greatest activists that I have ever known. If he was here today, he would first words to come out of his mouth, Reverend Payton, we got to do this. And sure enough, we will do it. But those of you who are out there who walk around here like you're above everybody else, I'm here to tell you that you're not. My problem is your problem. And your problem is my problem. Let me bring in Alisa. And let's hear what she has to tell us today. Alisa, are you there? All right, let's bring in Big Rod.
Hello?
Yes, Alisa? Hello? Alisa? All right, somehow we're not getting through here. Let's move on. Rod, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and your words were so beautiful. And right, touch my heart.
We have to learn to work together. We people don't understand where we are, what we are, what we need to do. We got to change the way we do business. You know, we understand that we do have issues, we do have certain things, but. It's crucial that people understand the importance, Rod, of standing together at all times. See, this government is not going to do anything for you. Government will never, don't matter who's the president. It doesn't really make a big difference. They got their own agenda. We have to learn to stand together. It's more of us than them. And until we realize that, it's going to continue to be that way. You know,
right.
And, We every single day, it don't get better and better. It gets worse and worse because they control your money. They're beating you down with your own money. The school system, you know, your story is disgraceful. If people really, really sit down and thought about what you were saying and what you have been through because of this school system, they should be ashamed of themselves. You should be out there where they should be out there every day with you picking in that school system. Because,
right.
That, see, the thing is, people don't understand stuff unless it happens to them. Then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. That's the way they do. I don't know what to tell you. You know, me, I think, like, even here in Benton Harbor, you know, all this time I've been fighting for these people for years and years and years, you know. I get back here, they act like they love me so much. Oh, Reverend Benny, I'm so glad that you're home. You're the only one who has stood up for us and all this guy, and don't really give a rat's butt about me, you know. That's
right.
Their history. They don't give or they don't care nothing, and I know that, but it comes with the territory, you see. And I'm willing to accept that because there's a bigger fish to fry than them. And I tell you, it's been an amazing journey, you know. And I think everybody should have a voice. I think everybody should be able to say what they want to say. And I think everybody should be able to do what they want to do. And we just have to learn to stand together. And until we learn to stand together, we're going to continue just like this, you know. They're picking you off, whether you like it or not, one at a time, because they know that you're not going to come together and fight. You know, just like my T.I. family, they can't bigger with each other. Sometimes you have to learn to accept some of the things that, you know, people saying and move on, you see, because it's not the end of the world, you know, and that's what we know. But listen, Ross, why don't you tell me what you want people to know that's listening? We have a tremendous listening audience today. And I think it's time that those people that's out in California, you need to get with Ross. You need to call her, talk to her, email her, and form a bond. What's that thing they call it, teacher's a rubber room, dummy room, or
a jail? I was never in the jail. I'm just the injured teacher. But to ruin teachers' lives so they can make money, this is this dirty little secret in the state of California from the governor, Governor Brown, and his state legislature with all the bills and laws. And then you've got LAUSD, the school system, and their dirty little secret that it's okay to just go after people and kill them. This is due justice. It's absolutely unconscionable and disgusting. And you're right. Our money, our tax money, is paying to kill me off. Let me just tell you, I was a military wife. Let me just interject this for a minute. And we have to stand up. We were stationed in Iran, Tehran, Iran, in 1978. And the plane was supposed to come in after the embassy. They went after everything in the streets and the gunfire every night and the death threat constantly. We signed up to go out on December 6th of 1978. This is a year before the embassy was taken, and President Carter knew that for a year. But we signed up. We went. There was no plane to take us, a military plane to take us out, because our government said nothing was going on. And I didn't want my children to die. I certainly didn't want to die. And I went into action, and I went to everybody I could think of. And by the next day, the evacuation started. And because I opened my mouth, 40,000 people were saved. And now I come back here, and 17 years ago as a teacher for LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, the second biggest school district in the country, so corrupt, so disgusting, that has enough money that they're moving the money around into different funds, probably into their own pockets, I'd say. It's awful. And I was injured. I was sprayed in my face with toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. I couldn't hardly breathe. I was gray. My tongue was swelling. My nose was closing. I had a terrible headache, a chest, terrible pain in my chest. My skin was burning. I was just totally out of it. My muscles felt like mush. The school refused to call the paramedics. They are free. Free. They can't do anything that's free. And my students, their noses were closing and their tongues were swelling and they could care less. And they put me in the nurse's office without anyone in there. And 3 hours later, they said to me, I have to drive home, which was far away. And I kept saying at the lights, I don't know how I got home. The lights were red. Kept saying red, green. I could have died. So in 17 years, from December 8th of 2000 to now, my case goes on. Delays, denials, and death. And there's also football players out there, too, for all of you that love football, that have workers' comp cases that they're screwing them over, too. Now, the school district has agreed I have physical injuries. So how did the school district figure out how not to pay me after about 9 years and not to give me the proper treatment or care that the California Constitution states? They found a doctor who was very willing. They call them whore doctors because they're willing to write anything. So for $16,770, that's what he charged for his report. The judge gave him the medical diagnosis. The judge, Gerald Cohn, changed all the facts in my case, all the testimony in my case, added his own, and lost very important papers going through the appeal system. My lawyer took my case all the way to the Supreme Court. Los Angeles Unified School District moved the money that was allotted for injured workers out of the funds, and then they started having doctors writing, Dr. John Stahlberg of Santa Monica, California, writing these, admits that he didn't have the evidence for it because he had seen me for years, had written 4 reports, 3 depositions, and he never even mentioned if you're physically injured, they turn your case into a mental condition. A mental condition, mind you, so they can lower your rating and not pay you. Injustice, unconscionable, disgusting, purposely killing injured workers. And there was a wonderful teacher in Los Angeles, Charles Smith, who was on the show years ago, and he died from his injuries. And they became like my family. Awful.
Wow. Hey, listen, you was talking about that doctor. How much money did they pay him for that false report?
Okay. He had written 4 reports. They had done 3 depositions on him over the course of 5, 6, 7 years. They paid him $16,770 for this report. He said he had a site on his website that said how important the truth was, the evidence was in workers' comp cases. Obviously, money supersedes the evidence. But he admitted he didn't have the evidence for it under oath, but they still did not go in my favor. I did not have the judgment in my favor. I have not stopped. I have lung damage, so I'm coughing and wheezing all the time. I'm exhausted from the fibromyalgia and have pain. This hot weather here in California is not helping, but I am fighting. And in all these years and all the people that I've known, I haven't had one person say to me, can we help you? Can we help you? Your money, your tax money is paying to kill me off. Just like you're saying. It is so disgusting. My voice, until the moment I cannot speak and not hear, my voice is going to keep speaking up. These people are killing me. What gave them the right?
And remember this, Roz. How many other people out there that's in the same predicament you in? And you know, I always talk about teachers' jail that they have. And rather than allow you to stay home or do anything else, they put you what they call teacher's jail. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, I was never a teacher in teacher's jail. And the teachers are older.
I know you was not.
Okay, so most of the teachers that they've gone after are older. Most of them have never done anything. And even when I speak to some people, they think everybody in teacher's jail was terrible. This is not true. LAUSD went after these teachers without due process. Do not tell them what they've done because they want to save money. And it only has to do with the money. Here you've worked your whole life for the students. You've come to school. You might not be the best teacher in the whole world, but you are a teacher. You've come. You're not hurting anybody. You're teaching the kids. And they find some little thing or some student says, oh, I don't like them, and they think of something. They write it up, and they just go after you. And it just destroys these people. It destroys them mentally. They can't figure out that there's no justice. How could this be happening to them? It is so cruel. And they never tell them why. I think they have a class action suit going on now. Or they will.
Uh-huh.
But I wish I could find a lawyer to go after them, because I have all the documentation. I have what the judge did and how he changed all the facts. And I'm trying to get somebody to make a movie for me about this. Like a Michael Moore movie. But I have news for all of you. Your money is killing you. It's destroying your life. Your money with these corrupt legislatures are feeding you all these taxes, are destroying your children and grandchildren and the students' education. The children in LAUSD, the students, most of them cannot read or do math at the proper levels. So when they go to college, they have to lower the requirements so they're not in college for a long time. They end up in jail, in prison. Can't they just teach the kids basics? I mean, it goes like a sick circle of how disgusting they are. They can't teach them the basics. They're throwing in all these classes. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. Don't they get it that if the kids really just produced and bloomed, that all of us, it's in all our favor. All of us, it helps all of us. I go in a store and I have to help the kid count the money. They don't get it. I have to tell the kids what to do. I can figure it out before they can. What they're supposed to be doing. Not that they're not nice kids. They just needed to learn the basics. But they're destroying them. They're destroying your kids. They're destroying your way of life. They're killing
you. They don't need it. Right. They don't need educated little children no more. They don't need that no more. You see, that's the thing. And that's one of the things that we, you know, we need to come together and think about. To me, it seems like it's a no-brainer to go in the school system and educate the children. I don't even see how the school system got this bad, Roz. I just don't see it. But it's all about money. Everything is about your dollars. Everything. And
right.
About
the bomb. Who do you think gave them money all the years, North Korea? We did. We turned off the money, even like ISIS. You know, they have all the oil wells and everything. How about carpet bombing them so there's no money? If you don't have money, you can't have all this stuff and the flags and all this other stuff and be able to fly all over and kill people.
Right,
it's money. Right.
States,
it's all about money.
The United States financed ISIS. They're the one who created ISIS. They're the one who all these terrorist groups were created by this country. And this is how they keep you and me and everybody else thinking about ISIS when the bigger problem is this country. They are the ones behind this thing. Look what they're doing to you. That don't have nothing to do with ISIS. What they doing to you?
No, right. Look what they're doing to me. I'm a highly educated woman. Wherever we were stationed, I went to college, so I've been to about 10 different universities. I have a master's degree. I led my classes. When I took all the Chicano studies classes, I was a token white lady in the classes. I loved it. That's what they call me. And I would bring in all kinds of speakers, and it was wonderful. I even encouraged them to get a master's degree program going. It was wonderful. It's wonderful to reach out. It's wonderful to assimilate. It's wonderful to be with everybody and get people educated. Look what they're doing to me. They're killing me off. I was in a group. They were talking about North Korea, and I says, please tell me. Every day I think about this. All these bombs, you know, for money, all these bombs could kill us. Why do they want all these bombs?
Well, anyway.
I mean,
listen,
that's the question.
Hold on, Roz. On that note, you got about 30 seconds to say something. I got to bring in my good friend, Alisa. I got to bring her in after I get through speaking with you. So, tell us what you want to know. Tell us what you want people to do. How can people help you? I'm telling you that with the audience we have today, somebody's going to hear you and someone is going to call you. So tell us what you want them to do.
talk to me.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for doing God's work. I feel that I work for the Lord, and that makes me the happiest, that if I can touch one person's life. So smile, pray. Today's a day of prayer, and we really reach out to all those people in Texas and what they've gone through. It's horrible, just a nightmare. I've lost everything. I was in the earthquake. Okay, please contact me. I would love a lawyer to sue them. I have all the documented evidence. All those that have been injured, please contact me. I want to do like a parody movie, like a Michael Moore type movie. You can reach me at 818-631-0513. 818-631-0513. Or you can email me at rozzywow, rozywow at AOL.com, rozywow at AOL.com. And I want you all to know that you are not alone, and it's baby steps. I've been in this for 17 years, and I'm not going to be quiet. All my elected officials know who I am because I go to all the town hall meetings. I am nice, so when I'm not around, they wonder where I am, and I speak up all the time, and it's so important, and all of you need to get together because they're out to destroy your life for money. So contact me at 818-631-0513 or rozywow, rozywow@aol.com. And I just need everybody to get together. The workers' comp issue is all over the United States. We're treated just like the veterans, delays, denials, and death. And it must stop now. It's a $1 trillion business for the insurance companies, the employers, all these whore doctors, lying lawyers, corrupt judges, delaying insurance adjusters. So thank you, Reverend Pinkney, always for time.
All right, then. Hey, that's wonderful, Roz. You have been very, very, very stable, and you deserve better. And the only way things is going to get better, we have to come together. We have to remember it's more of us than them. They may have the resources, our money, our tax money they're using to destroy you. And those of you who are out there, let me say this first of all. Today, General Baker from Detroit, Michigan, who died in 2014, my very, very good friend, one of the greatest activists in the whole wide world. He was my mentor. He was my brother. He was my friend. He was someone who you could look up to. And on September the 6th, we will be celebrating General Baker's birthday. So those of you out there, if you could take a moment out and just have a moment of silence for him. That would be wonderful. But let me talk about Cuba right now, real fast. You talk about target individual. Last time that Alisa was on, I got so many calls in reference to her. I was telling them, I was giving them a history. And I did the same thing to each and every one of them. I took them all the way through there. I don't mind you calling because if you want to know, I should have the answer for you. And I don't hesitate. I don't hold it up. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. So I believe that the target individuals are being attacked. They're doing the same thing in Cuba now. Cuba are using kind of electronics to brain damage, hearing problems, body problems, you name it, they are having it now. The United States was a sonic attack on them, and they finally figured it out. It came from Cuba. If Cuba, a small country like that, can do something like that, you can imagine what this country can do and is doing to our people. And I know my good friend Alicia too was talking about drones and stuff. And one guy told me, he said, well, why would they, you know, a drone is very expensive. Why would they use it? They'll use anything. See, the thing is, they don't care about money because it's not their money. It's our money.
is our money. That's who money it is. So listen, let me bring in Alisa. Alisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm still surviving. I'm trying to live through this torture. I just wanted to say that I made my GoFundMe page, and I just want to say thank you to everybody. Again, I would like to see if people can either call me, email me, go to my GoFundMe page, and show up in Philadelphia October the 10th at 7 a.m. in Center City at the Federal Building. Let me say this to the people that talk about drones and aircraft. They will spend no expense. They don't care about money to torture somebody, to covertly and secretly take you out, kill you. They don't care about the money. I don't know what I've ever done to these people. But I'm telling you, I get followed by the Philadelphia police every day. They send out fire trucks. They send out paramedics. They have went through my whole neighborhood, told people lies about me, have my neighbors out here stalking me, sitting in cars with lights on every block I turn up. I mean, it's sick. It's insane. There's nothing that I can do that I should be looked at as any threat to anybody. But this is what they do to people. I don't know if I'm just some type of experimentation victim or somebody they just don't like and just want to get rid of. But this is what they will do. And I'm telling people, don't support it. If they come in your neighborhood and start telling you about this person is a bad person and this person need to be watched, that's none of your business. I haven't done anything. I can go from state to state, from any part of Philadelphia, and I'll have an entourage of people waiting for me. This is a big global network that's happening worldwide, and it can happen to anybody. So I'm telling you, it's very serious. It's very dangerous. These acoustic attacks that's happening in Cuba, they shoot me with some type of drone or aircraft, weapons, satellites. Some people have handheld weapons. This is radiation, microwave weapons. I don't know what you call them, but these are some serious weapons I've been shot with. And they also use your smart meters. They use Wi-Fi, your smartphone, the smart any smart technology, the harp, the weather, all this whole system is controlled and can be weaponized against you. So maybe we just test subjects to see how they can get rid of or harm us, to see how they could do it to the rest of the population. I don't mean to say these things. I don't want to come out because it makes me even more of a target. But I can't. My life has been totally destroyed. I can't right now. My children need to go back to school. I have no clothes, nothing to give them. I can't go to work. I can't do that. Like I said, I can't walk to the corner without being shot with something. I'm pretty much living on the street. You know, I'm ducking here. I'm ducking there. You can't hide from these weapons. I'm trying to tell you, this can be used on anybody at any time. I just had, while I was waiting, a helicopter just went over the house. This is done secretly and covertly. Only the victim of the victim, that's the target individual, know how the system is played out on them. But other people see it because I've had witnesses to it. But you just have to spend some time looking at it, and once you see it, you get it. These drones fly. No drones or no aircraft, these type of military aircraft should be flying around in West Philadelphia or in any neighborhood or any community. These are weaponized aircraft, and they shoot you. I mean, I've been shot with this numerous times. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. I can't even give basic food, nothing. And I've done nothing to these people. And, I mean, they look at me like I'm some enemy. And I tell you, it's evil. It's sickening. It's a horrific crime. They will implant you with some type of technology, put a weapon inside of you. They will do whatever it costs to do whatever they decide that they want to do for whatever reason. Because if when you meet me and if you see me, you're going to say, why would they want to do that to that woman? She's nice. She conforms to society rules. She gets along with people. They don't ask you no questions. They just do it. And I think they said this is coming under the NDA law, National Defense Act, or they can label you as a terrorist. They can say you're a national security threat, and they'll do this. The hospitals will do it. Psychiatric will do it. They want to say that you're crazy so that they could get that type of, you know, diagnosis on you. It's a big whole industry involved in it, and they are producing these weapons, and they're not going to stop using them on people. They're going to, if once they get rid of one group of targets, they'll go get more. As long as that money is flowing, they're not going to stop. I didn't do anything to these people. I've been a good citizen of Philadelphia. I've been born and raised here. I love this city, you know, and I can't even go anywhere without an entourage of people already on go with their cell phones, taking pictures of me, shooting me with weapons from the sky, from out of their cars. And, like, I'm somebody that's done something so horrific. I've never committed a crime in my life. I never did anything to anybody. Nobody never came up and told me nothing. But they have wrecked my finances, wrecked my family, my friends, my children. I have a pet right now that's pretty much laying here dying. Everything you can think of, these people spare no expense to wreck your life for whatever reason in their mind. It don't even exist. But this is what they'll do. I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know what I've done to them. But they're doing it, and they have been doing it to a lot of people. The lady was just on telling you a situation she was in. I believe her. I'm not going to come on here and tell you this, put my voice out here, say these things, and it's not true. Come up in front of all these people. I've never protested in my life. I don't want to come up against them, but I want my life back. I want to go to work and take care of my family, have a decent place to live in. I don't want to live on the streets. So you got to stop looking at homeless people. I want to tell people, don't look at them and throw your nose up on them. These people could be targeting individuals. You don't know what then happened in their life that put them out there, because I'm out there. And I haven't done anything to anybody. But these people will spare no expense to do this to me. I mean, and to do it to anybody, no matter what race you are, socioeconomic. But for some reason, women are an easy target. So I'm in need for everything that I possibly can get. I mean, I have nothing. I'm trying to see if I can get an RV to live in, anything, just to keep me off the streets. But I'm constantly shot from the sky, from I don't know where. I can't sit in my front yard. I can't sit in my backyard. I go to another place. They use the whole system as a weapon. Our electronical system is a weapon. Our smart meters, they're weapons in your house. Look up smart meter murder. Look up smart meters. Look up Wi-Fi. These things are slow kill weapons. Cell phones, all these cell towers. I didn't know all this, but they did this to me. And I can't sit here and keep sitting quiet and allow taxpayers' money to be paid to torture and target me, destroy my life, possibly kill me, take me away from my family. And I didn't do nothing to these people. They never told me nothing that I did. I never went to court or anything. All I know is I was living down nice and south in South Philly, in Philadelphia. I was going to school, and all of a sudden, gangs of people started following me around and just wouldn't stop. Next thing you know, they started shooting weapons. I don't know if it was put inside of me. I believe the weapons are put inside of me. Something is inside of me that I didn't consent to. And I believe when I went to the dentist, they put something inside of me. They could do it at the hospital. I believe they shoot it in people from the sky. They can shoot it in you. The chemtrails, all this stuff is a weapon to get rid of the population of people. You better start opening your eyes and listening. Get off them cell phones. Get rid of that technology, because the technology is what's causing this. You know, it's good technology. I'm not against it. But they are going to have people that they can say is desirable or undesirable, and they just going to be left out in the cold until we decide that this is wrong, that this is unacceptable, find out what laws was created, go back to Congress, go back to wherever we need to go to stop it, because it's not going to stop happening to people. It's going to continue to happen. There's no reason for anybody to spend a penny to destroy my life. For real. I mean, seriously, I mean, I can't do anything. I can't even walk to the store. I can't get any sustenance, no food for myself. I can't do anything. And my children is like, Mom, I got to go back to school. I need school books. I need school clothes. I can't go see about my children because of this radiation that I've been exposed to. And it's all in the environment and in the air. You better watch that 5G that's coming. That's another weapon. All these things, and I don't want to tell all these things about this country. I don't want to be like they, because they'll say, well, she's a dissident, she's a whistleblower, she's an activist. They use these terms to do these things to you. But when you're doing something to me, what do you expect me to do? I want my life, too. I want my family, too. I want to live like everybody else. I can't go out and do anything because of this system and what they developed. And they want to keep it under wraps. They want to keep it covert and secret. It's not, you better read about it. And you better know. And if you can help somebody, help them. And continuously
Absolutely.
Help them, because I can't help myself. I can't do anything. And it's not fair
right.
to me. It's not right.
That's right. Alisa, listen to me. We got about 2 minutes. I want you to tell people how to contact you, and also your GoFundMe. You got a GoFundMe page. I did receive a lot of calls in reference to you and some of the things that happened. I wanted to give them your phone number, but I don't give out people phone numbers without their permission.
Okay, you can go to GoFundMe. It says Victim of Surveillance. Alisa Ogburn, O-G-B-U-R-N. As Alisa is A-L-I-C-I-A, Ogburn. And you can call me at 267-507-8108. I have a Gmail that's compassionate, AlisaOgburn@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. AlisaOgburn4 is Twitter. AlisaOgburn is on Facebook. So go to my GoFundMe. You can call me any time of the day, and we could talk about this. But the thing is, this is a serious matter. This is happening to a lot of people. Women are their favorite victims. They do this to children. They do it to your whole family. They can torture you. They can take your brain waves. Any kind of sci-fi horrific thing, they can do it. Things that you couldn't imagine, they have the weapons to do it. I didn't think it until it happened to me. I'm not their enemy. You know, I have to say that because I'm not their enemy, but they declared this on me. So I have to respond like this because I'm my back is against the wall and I'm like in a firing zone. So I'm asking
Absolutely.
For them to stop firing on me, please.
All right, listen. All right, Alisa. I think you have a friend that you know. If she wants to speak next week, call me and let me know. and then we'll get her on too. But I want people to go to your GoFundMe page and please. She needs money. She needs funds. Help her out, you know. And that's what we got to learn to do, help each other out. So thank you so much, Alisa. And I will call me during the week and let's talk.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Let me bring in my good friend, Amy. She's also, I don't know whether she likes the term target individual, but she's been my good friend for many, many years. And I'm always excited to have her on the show because she's one of the ones who actually helped me to understand what a target individual do and what happened with a target individual. And that's really just the way it is. But let's bring in Amy. Amy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
Hey, let me tell you something before I go on. I ain't your friend. You my father. I didn't adopt you. You my father. I didn't kidnap you to be my father. You the only one, like a father that nurtures. I don't care how the people. I don't care how old you are. Reverend Pinkney nurtures you. He understands. He do what a father do. He protect people. And what I mean protect you, he'll begin to give you moral support and let you know you ain't by yourself with this situation. And you're really not. And see, this is the sister that just said everything she said. And my hand go up to that sister to be like, sister, give me 25. Like you slap hands together. That sister was on the point. She told everything they do. They got access at your vital and your sex organs. That means whatever you can do, they can do to mimic you, like some type of Simon Says type of dog of a game. And let me tell you how you can clearly understand it. Everybody, if you don't know what a voodoo doll is, ask Reverend Pinckney to give you the concept. A voodoo doll is something is made of you to emulate you from a computer. If they tack the arm in physical form in real time from this virtual technology, having an emulation of you, the full genetic makeup of you and your frequencies, everything, just it's a copy of you, like a clone, and it's on a computer and it's a display, and this display is like a voodoo doll, and what they do with it, wherever they tack, you gonna feel it. When I found out that they got that technology to do that to you, if they want your arm broke, they will write a script like a programmer, like telling your life story, telling the computer, at this date and this time, on this birthday, family members, relatives, birthday, born on a certain birthday or something, an event that happened in your life, to schedule an event to take place in your life where you and somebody else will end up in a car accident, and if they wanted your leg broke, they got the tedious science to know how to make sure your leg get broke. And another example, if they got to have somebody fight you to use that personal program to hit you with a bat or anything, if they want your leg broke, if they want you in jail, if they want your life took, if they want certain things to happen, if it ain't in the will of God, it will happen. That's why you got to stay prayed up and close to God as you can be, because these people need people mind to wander off in la-la land and say, this can't happen to me, and next thing you know, you on obituary, dead, and your family mourning on you, over you, or you one of the people out there walking around talking to yourself with a basket, homeless, piling up things, and living in your car with a bunch of things to the window and people thinking you crazy. Were you targeted by this technology? And you got to look at people that were smart, brilliant, and was smart in school. All of a sudden, these people out here is homeless and talking to themselves. That don't add up to reality. But they can do that to people, even scientists. It's scientists out here homeless. People from different walks of life did not plan to be homeless. Now they're out here finding themselves out here. Why? Because they won't obey the government. They want to have a unique creative mind. They want to think for themselves. They want to do for themselves. They want to treat other people right. If you interfere with something that they're doing with somebody else, unbeknownst to you, you just thinking it's morally right to help others. They can target you for getting in the way of their experimentation they're conducting on somebody that they have made a primary target to target that person, to take that person out. That means that God can use you and intervene with some harm coming to somebody else, and it's real on you, not to say that God will protect you along the way to be a voice-like man of the people. But it's done for a reason, so that we can stop this from happening. I am at the School in Administration of Justice, and I'm working with my professors, and I'm going to talk to them and ask them how they can help me. learn the elements of the crime and put this information in code. Because let me tell you what else they do. They hack people's brains that would have the moral support to help you. Whatever reason it was for Father Pinckney, Reverend Pinckney, it was God shielding him from being, in his mind being influenced not to want to listen to people. For one, his heart was gold. For two, he know how these corporations is treating people. So he got an uncorruptible mind. His mind cannot be corrupted because he loves people and he loves his creator who created all things. If you're a person like that, this technology can't have its way like it wants to. It can influence little things about you, but the major things about you, your genetic makeup, and you gotta know yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, you're gonna be one of these people, they hacking your brain, rearranging your thoughts, and have you picking on people and being a gang stalker, which is one that could know it is happening to them, or one that just taking over with this technology like a zombie. And the object of the game is to control as many people's thoughts as they could, unbeknown or knowing to them, while the ones is sitting on the computer having their way with everybody's mind, playing everybody for a fool in the tool, while the rich elite working for the government, working for them, and these private contractors with these military forces like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and it's more out there than working with these corporations, doing it to people, hacking people's thoughts. And the ultimate goal is to control family blood. The ultimate goal, control family bloodlines to family bloodlines, and hack on people and put them in urban communities in these experimentations and make like these people just all of a sudden want to get out there and fight for the same girl.
Amy, you're fading out just a little bit, but listen, you got about 30 seconds to tell us what you want people to do or how they can help. We know Elisa needs help. We know other people need help. So my thing is unity, people coming together to help each other. That's one of the things. But listen, you only got 30 seconds. We almost off the air. And tell us what you want to say, but you can only take 30 seconds. Do it now.
You want to get on Reverend Pinckney's show, you want to get educated, you want to get in contact with Ken Rawls, you want to get some DVDs, and you want to learn and get your head out the sand. Thank you for allowing me to listen. Have fun, that sister.
All right. That was beautiful. And I must say today, I truly enjoyed the show today. I enjoyed everybody coming on. Rob, she's been fighting this battle for a long time. Lisa, she's being attacked now, and it is going to be a continuous thing until we come together and stand together. And my daughter Amy's there, and the key thing is to stay focused. You know, I know what you're up against, and I believe the numbers is important. Next week, Amy, I'm going to ask Daryl. I want Daryl to come on next week. And maybe he could team up with some of these people and do what they do. But, Amy, don't forget, call me during the week and tell Daryl I want him on the show next Sunday. I want him to come in and help kind of like explain some of this stuff. Also, the last word goes out to my good friend, my guy, General Baker. September the 6th will be his birthday, will be his celebration. And we will be celebrating his birthday, his time. So those of you out there, if wherever you may be, take a moment out and think about General Baker himself. And I want people to understand that he was more than just an activist. He was the real deal. And we always talk about people who can't be bought and sold. General Baker was one of those guys. And I miss him. I wish that he could still be here today, but unfortunately, he was called home. But on that note, I just want everybody to know that next week we'll be on again. We have, you know, I appreciate all the people who are listening today. I appreciate you taking the time out, and we're getting bigger and bigger. I want to get up to 1 million people listening on this computer. And on that note, I'm going to say good night to all. See you next week, same time, same station.